The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on the 17th day of April, 2025. And tonight, way back in the back, pastors, mighty men and women, we have Eric and Pastor Richard Lewis and Karen. Our Karens are good Karens. They're not like those Democrat Karens. Then also, and she's a rose between the thorns back there. And then here, live in the studio from right to right, because no left is allowed or tolerated at all. We have started out with Brian Massey. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you so much for inviting us.
Then we have the elder, Barkley.
Good evening, good evening. God is in control.
Leonard Gilbert.
Hello, this is Leonard Gilbert, and I'm also in control with God's help.
Alrighty, amen. And then Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right. Now we have way out yonder in Missouri, we have none other than the highly esteemed, very well-known Pastor Joe Larson.
I'm still in the Lord's grip, still working for him each and every day, and glad to be with you again.
And so this is, you guys, somebody can switch so you don't, there you go. I have a whole studio full of fellows here, so we're changing mics around. Now, we're going to go, well, it's pledge week, so we got to start right out with that. The numbers are 888 281-1110, 888-281-1110. That's credit card line. The other numbers are 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. And so, Joe, let's get right in, fellas, to the scripture tonight, and then we're going to go to prayer. Okay, we had Bob and Lori in Michigan pledged 100. Thank you, Bob and Lori. Thank you, Bob and Lori. Okay. Again, those phone lines are open. We need to hear you. We're going right to the scripture, and then we're going to go into some heavy-duty prayer, because, boy, do we need prayer. Now, we're going to pick it up where we left off there in Matthew chapter 21, and I'm going to read verses 12 and 13, and we'll jump over then to John chapter 2. So, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. And he said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but thou hast made it a den of thieves. Well, here he was quoting from Isaiah chapter 56 and also Jeremiah chapter 7, or verses 11,
Yeah, I'm just going to read those. If you had it, Jeremiah 7:11, In this house which is called by my name become a den of robbers in your eyes, behold, I have seen it, saith the Lord. And it was in Isaiah 7, or
56, verse 7.
Mm-hmm. 56, 7. Even them will I bring my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar.
Absolutely. So here now think about this, because when you went in, you know, those tables that they had, they were made of stone.
Yeah.
They were made of stone. You had these big, and so to flip those over, now here you had some very righteous indignation. People will say that Jesus was gentle and never was angry. Well, that's not true at all, okay? The Bible says to be angry, okay, where it comes to unrighteousness. But and so here is
called righteous anger, right?
Pardon?
It's actually called righteous anger.
Yeah. And so here, now this is the second time. This is the second time he did that. We're going to jump over to John chapter 2 and verses 13. So, Joe, would you like to read verse 13 through 17? And then Elder Barclay, verses 18 through 25.
All right. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not any my father's house a house of merchandise. And you see, 17, and his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up.
Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man.
All right, very good. Well, now we start out. We have Jake Lang, a J6er joining us. Are you there, Jake?
My brother, Pastor Ernie, God bless you. I am out of prison, from the prayers of the righteous have availed much, haven't they?
They have. You spent over 1,000 days there in that dirty D.C. jail, didn't you?
Yes, 1,460.
Yeah, and what we're going to do...
4 years and 6 days.
We're doing some... we're going through the Bible study right now, and then we're going to go to some real heavy-duty prayer. We really need it to... this ministry really needs to raise some money right away, and we got all these men of God here to pray. So we're going to go back to verse 13 here. And the Jews' Passover... Now, here's what John writes. John writes... By the way, this here... John is the only one that records this passage here, the first cleansing of the temple of the Gospels. And he goes and he says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. So why do you think that John was a Jew. So why do you think he said, and the Jews' Passover was at hand? He referred to it as the Jews' Passover, because at this time now, mm-hmm. you had a number of Gentiles becoming Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The answer to that is because he was writing actually to the Gentiles, okay?
Right.
And so here, and he found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changes of money. Well, one of the things happened there, you know, the priest, the high priest, him and his family, they were in charge of the exchange of money, okay? Mm-hmm. And they had turned it into totally corrupt. They were exchanging money at an unfair rate.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, they thought they was part of that USAID, you know?
Yeah, getting rich off the powers that be, right?
Absolutely.
Like today, they're all using everything to get rich.
And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen poured out their changers' money and overturned their tables and said unto them that sold doves. This here next passage is in all four of the Gospels. Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And the disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. But of course, that was in Psalms 69, verse 8. And so, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? Well, the Jews always required a sign.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Of course, he was referring to his own body. Mm-hmm. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? And now the disciples is making sense to him. Now they're saying, hey, you know what, okay. But he spake of the temple of his body, and when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus said. Now, you can think about this here. They had been walking with Jesus. They had seen the miracles. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen him do all these miracles, feed 5,000 and all of these things. And yet, he had to raise himself from the dead before his own brothers would believe upon him, okay? And therefore, when he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast days, many believed in his name, and when they saw the miracles which he did, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now I want to go back to Matthew and pick it up where we left off there in verse 14, Matthew 21, verse 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, mm-hmm. and the children crying into the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. You know, again, that Hosanna is a translation of the Hebrew term meaning please save. In other words, Jesus' names mean Savior, okay, mm-hmm. of salvation, okay? And so, Son of David, they were sore displeased. Well, here now, remember, if you're going back when he came in there and when he started, when he was talking about going to the village over against you, verse 2, and straight away you shall find an ass tied in a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. Now, this is the only one of the Gospels that refers to the ass and the colt. The others just refer to the colt, but it refers to also the foal, okay, a colt of a foal. Mm-hmm. And that word foal, what that means is unbroken, not ready to ride, not ready. But Jesus was not an ordinary man, and this was no ordinary situation. And so here now, when he came in, verse 9, and the multitudes that went before him followed, crying, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna is the highest. Well, he was already well known in Galilee. And in Galilee, they were already referring to him as Messiah. But now he comes to the national leaders of Israel. And the sad thing of it is here, you know, this passage is called the triumphal entry. And what the sad thing of it is, you know, humanly speaking, it was everything but because he came to announce that his people were going to reject him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They were going to reject him. And so here then, I want to go to verse 16. And he said unto them,
not only did his people would reject him, that he was very close to being crucified. I mean, here you're receiving praise and hosannas, and people are laying palm branches in front and all this attention, and knowing you have just a few days to live. I mean, it had to be, you know, the man part of him, this has got to be a really hard week.
Yeah, you're telling me. And so then he goes on to say, and he said unto them, hearest thou what they say? And Jesus said unto them, you read out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. And that's Psalm 8, verse 2. And he left them and went out of the city in Bethany, and he lodged there. I'm going to just stop right there and pick it up tomorrow with a cursing of the fig tree. That's a very interesting passage, too.
Could I add one thing?
Sure.
Back when we were in John, and it was talking about his body being the temple, you know, destroy this temple. Well, he was fully God and fully man, and so you had a perfect example here. God is dwelling, the spiritual Father is dwelling in the physical man, and we are the physical. When we're born again, we're born in spirit. Our body is the temple. When we get born again, we receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Our body becomes a temple because we have the living God dwelling with us. And being born, then we become spirit, returning. Jesus came from the Father, the physical from the spiritual Father. We're born physical and return and are born again spiritually to become children of God.
Well, they really never destroyed,
right?
That's true, but they never destroyed that temple. Because, see, his body was different than yours and mine.
Oh, right, you're right.
In our bodies, we have sin, okay? In his bodies, he had no human father. And so what they did is they killed him, humanly speaking, but his body never deteriorated and never, what they refer to in 1 Corinthians 15, corruption. Mm-hmm. It never became corrupted. And so sometimes you can feel the corruption in our body. This is why we get old and all the things happening to us now.
Do you mean corruption like you and I with all the metal parts and the scars and the stitches and, you know, all that stuff, metal things in there?
You know, when the rapture takes place, boy, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of interesting things in the ground. And
that's lying.
I mean, can you imagine that? Okay. And I remember some years ago going with my wife. We took a ride on this ride down there at Cedar Point. I don't know what they call it, but it was like a roller coaster. And when you get down to the bottom, it takes a hard right turn. You know, it's like real fast. But I looked, and down at the bottom there, that area, they had all kinds of sunglasses. They had teeth. You could see the false, all of the things.
Yeah.
And you had to get a special permit to go in there and pick up your stuff that you lost on that turn. And that was something. We're gonna stop here now and change direction because we need to go to prayer. Karen in Ohio pledges 50. Thank you, Karen. Denizio in New York pledges 10. Thank you, Denizio. So let's go ahead. Pastor Joe, would you lead off with the prayer? And let me see. No, we have. Let's do Jake. Jake is our special guest tonight with us. Jake Lang, would you lead us off and pray for the funding we need here and pray for this country? And you're running for office. You're running for U.S. Senator in Florida. So go ahead and just pray as the Lord leads. Are you there, Jake? Is he still there?
He's still there on our end.
Jake, are you there? Okay, Pastor Hal, we're going to, no, not Hal, Joe, we're going to
go. You get your larcenies confused, don't you?
Yes. Go ahead. We'll start with you. Go ahead and lead us. We pray that the Lord will provide those funds.
Dear Heavenly Father, you have, for 50 years plus, watched over this ministry. We have thanked you. We have praised you. We have glorified you. We have tried to teach your word. We, all of those who have been a part of the ministry throughout all those years. Pastor Ernie has been your most faithful servant in all that time. I can think of no one that I know that has spent so much time being a watchman on the wall, teaching, preaching, and serving you. And you have seen this ministry through many trials, tribulations, threats, attacks. And now the ministry is at a point where the problem is simply the lack of manna. There are bills that have to be paid, money that has to be raised, and Lord, we, those in the ministry, when I use the word we, all the people that have served in the office, on the radio, behind the scenes, everywhere that have worked to glorify you, we desperately need your help. We need you to come to the rescue and find a way to make it possible for these bills to all get paid. And Lord, you know the amount that's needed. We don't have to say it out loud. We don't. You know all things. You know what the problem is. And you've told us to bring everything to you in prayer. So Lord, just if it be thy will, Father, that we need your help more than ever before in the ministry. And the economic situation in this country has been very bad. It's been very harmful for the ministry. Many of our wonderful listeners and supporters died through COVID. Many others have gotten old and gone home to be with you. And a lot of the funds that we used to come in aren't. But Lord, you already know that. So Lord, we need you to provide a path to prosperity, to get the ministry back on its feet and out of debt. And so, Lord, I just would ask that all the listeners out there hearing would, be in prayer for the ministry. The need is great. Time is immediate. And that you would cover Pastor Ernie and bless him in every way conceivable, Lord, during this time. Help see him through all of this. And, Lord, we love you, and we just put it into your wonderful, capable hands. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Jake, are you back yet? Jake, are you there? Apparently we've lost him. Let's go, okay, to you, Randall. Would you want to open us in prayer?
Amen. Amen. Father God, we come before you. We know that your word says, not by might, not by power, but by your spirit, saith the Lord. And so, Father God, we call on you right now, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Father God. And Father God, we know that you hear the cries of your people, and the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So, Father God, we push tonight in the kingdom, for you said the kingdom suffereth violence, and the violent, they take it by force. And so, Father God, we know that we are more than conquerors, Lord God. This is nothing that is too hard for you. This is nothing that is impossible. We just need the hearts of the people to open and to hear, Father God, the need tonight, Father God, knowing there is no greater investment than what we can invest in the kingdom of God. And so, Father God, we ask, Father God, you already said that you know what we have need of. And so, Father God, we pray tonight that even as the word that came tonight when you were, Father God, upset, if you would, that people were blocking and stopping, as you called it, my house shall be called the house of prayer. When people were blocked from being able to get to you, Father God. Oh, Father God, you came in with a righteous indignation and you drove them out. And so, Father God, tonight we know that your house, it is called a house of prayer, and that, Father God, you want to hear your people. You want to heal your people. You want to do what is necessary for your people. So, God, please open up the windows of heaven tonight as we cry unto you, Father God. We have a need. You know what it is. And we pray that you would meet that need tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. I forgot to mention at the beginning, we have those for those that donate. For a donation of $25 or more, we've got part number three of 50 years of on the radio of battles. I mean, spiritual battles, physical battles, situations this ministry has been upon death row. We have, you know, we've gone against hardcore Satanists. Folks, and I mean, we've had a lot of experience in 50 years. Corrupt judges, we've exposed corrupt judges, exposed right in their own courtrooms, corrupt police officers that were taking money from the abortion mills. We never backed down. We always gave the opposition better than we got. We took on the ACLU when they went after people. We started here the homeschooling. This radio ministry here in Ohio, we were the ones that pioneered the homeschooling movement here in Ohio. And so, folks, we never did back down. We believed every word of the Word of God. We stand upon the Word of God. We're completely sold out to the Lord Jesus. And so we're going to go ahead and, well, I'm going to bypass that song. Would you, what you fellows like to pray, Leonard? Would
yes,
you
sir,
like to pray?
Definitely.
Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the grace and the mercy you continue to bestow upon a people that have gone astray. And we know, God, that we cannot do anything unless it's through you and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray that for this radio ministry, God, because we know that you use all tools
yes.
from your people, that we're to use these things to bring glory to you and to bring glory to your name. And all that we do so that we can help take the Dominion Covenant and promote the gospel throughout the world. God, help continue to give us the strength, the energy that we need, and also, God, the finances that we need to continue moving in the direction that you would have us to move. And God, we know that we can't convince people. We know it's all that you work in the people's heart. We pray that you work in those hearts. You the people that are out there that you've chosen to work with us, identify those people, bring them to us so they can also be a part of this magnificent movement. Again, as we think about all the things that are going around us, we need to have your voice in our society. Without Christianity, we will never flourish. And it's because of what you've done on the cross, all of us have this chance, especially being believers, to once again come to you, pray for our needs, and as you say all the time, you know exactly what we need, but we are commanded also to pray, not because it's some wish list, but because we know that you also grant everything that you said we would ask for. We may not understand how you deliver things to us, but we also continue to trust in you, not trusting in ourselves. And again, we come to you with all of our needs and to be aware all the time, God, that no matter what happens, that we will always continue our focus on you. Continue to pray for our brother Sanders and all the work that he continues to do. We're so thankful, God, that you have used him in a mighty way, ways that most people cannot even imagine. And we look at the things that we've also been accomplishing in our lives. It's all because of your mercy. Again, we continue to pray that we continue to have this mercy on us and give us the vision that we need to continue this good fight. We know that this fight is not over until you say it's over, God. Until then, we will go ahead and continue to glorify you in all that we do. Again, for those that are out there, we pray that your hearts are ticked by what we see and what we hear, and understand that we are out there for the soul or glory of our Lord and Savior.
Yes.
And if you have it in your heart and in your minds at this time, please continue to think about a contribution. And more importantly, God, not just now, but continue throughout this whole evening that we have together. And more importantly, that when we finish this evening, that they're also you also work in their hearts to continue to have them think about us. It's in Jesus I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very, very much. All right, mm-hmm. Those numbers are 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Again, that's 888-281-1110. The other line is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Brian, would you like to pray?
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to invite those that hear this word to have them contribute to the mighty work that Pastor Sanders has done over the 50 years that he's been continuing to preach the gospel. And we know that without you, that we really are nothing. But we appreciate the opportunity to continue as we reach out into the gospel and understand, try to better understand what the word is telling us. We can say, and we have been speaking this for many months now, love thy neighbor is a commandment. It is not a suggestion. Please help this ministry to continue to love thy neighbor as it has been doing for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to say, Lord, again, thank you for people, for the brothers and sisters out there that hold us up in prayer. We know how important prayer is, Lord. I know that all these years that we have all of the folks that will send in their prayer requests. I mean, you know, all the letters, hundreds and hundreds. And we sit down and we take them one by one and we believe in prayer. We know there's power in prayer. We know in your word you tell us much prayer, much power. And we know the prayers are kept too, Father God. And so, Lord, and right now we need prayer. And the one good thing about this is, you know, Lord, we can pray about everything. You've let us know that we don't have need of anything, Father God, as long as we can continue to pray. So, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we're asking again tonight that the people out there listening all across the land would pray with us too. We need this ministry, again, in all these years, and has never, ever compromised. In all those years, we've never compromised. We've always run to the battle, Lord. And again, we've stood our ground because we've, as Scripture says, we've ran a good race, we've fought a good fight, and we truly believe, we can honestly say that we never held back anything. We always give it the very best that we had to give. And so, Lord God, again, I thank you, Lord, for choosing us and for raising us up, and all the men that are even here with us tonight as they're here in this battle to bring America back to one nation under God, the way you gave it to us, Father God. And so with these things, we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. All right, now we're going to switch over. Let me give those numbers out again. 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. Folks, the lines are open, so give us a call. We lost Jake. And so, Brian, it's time for you and Leonard to tell us, what are you doing here? You guys are out to stop these unrighteous, these unlawful property taxes, which are taking the property away from a lot of elderly people that have worked their lives, paid off their mortgages, and now... And property taxes are not lawful. They're not lawful, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, what we have been saying, Pastor Sanders, is that any tax causing a citizen to become homeless is immoral. And as we go through the state of Ohio talking to people about property taxes and why they are immoral, why we've got to find some other way of, you know, funding these taxing authorities, it is amazing to us that as a society, what we see is an uneducated society.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long that has taken us to get to this point, but many people, believe it or not, they do not correlate when they go to the ballot box to vote on tax levies. They do not realize that they'll be increasing their property taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them say, well, we have to continue voting for these property tax levies so that it keeps our property values high. The logic that we see from, you know, many of the average citizens is really surprising to us. Don't have an answer, but we recognize this is and Leonard and I and many others throughout the state, we are committed to getting property taxes eliminated. We have started a citizens-led initiative, a petition, to get it on the ballot, mm-hmm. so that our fellow citizens can vote to eliminate property taxes. And this will be a constitutional amendment, and the legislators will then have to basically restructure the entire taxing system that we have in the state of Ohio. It is mm-hmm. not sustainable.
You know, there are people out there, Ryan and Leonard, that think that, well, if you pay all these taxes that the government tells you to pay, it makes you a more patriotic and a better citizen. But when you're paying taxes that are not fair, it just kind of makes you a dumber citizen, doesn't it? I mean,
absolutely.
You're aiding and abetting the criminal activity.
Yeah.
It's not a taxing problem that we have in the state. We can generate enough revenue in the state to pay for just almost anything. But whether it is a property tax, a sales tax, or an income tax, the problem is a spending problem. There are no checks and balances in our system mm-hmm. that will allow us to control the spending of schools, the county governments, crime labs. In Lake County, we have 54 different taxing districts, and 40% of the people do not even see their tax bill, so they don't know what they're paying for.
Well, and not only that, but you have these bureaucrats out there, the mindset like Nawaka.
Oh, yeah.
People that are bloodsuckers mm-hmm. and know how to get in and just, you know, suck the lifeblood out of people. And at the end of the year, people like you're talking about, like transportation or education, if there's a surplus, if they have extra money, instead of saying, well, look, we have a surplus, so we need to cut the amount that we need, let's lower taxes on the people.
Never happened.
But they don't do that. They say, no. We got to waste this. We got to spend this, because if we don't spend it and get mm-hmm. rid of it, then they're going to cut the amount that we can keep taxing people.
Mm-hmm.
That's the USAID, right?
Yeah. Yes. Well, the current legislators, they're working on changes to the Budget Commission, where they're going to prohibit these taxing authorities mm-hmm. from having, I believe it is probably up to 30% now. If they have more than 30% in cash reserves for their annual operating expenses, the legislators are going to give the Budget Commission, the County Budget Commission, the authority mm-hmm. to lower taxes. But the problem is, what will happen, though, in real life, the taxing authorities will spend down. If they know that they have, for example, 50% in reserves, they'll find some way to spend it.
Oh, yes.
There's no question about it. There's really never a thought, and I can say this from Lake County. I've been doing this for more than 7 years. There's
no
thought.
Like taking trips to Europe that had to do with the important educational things to find out how they can run
the
government
one,
back here better by taking these nice.
Oh,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we pulled back the curtain, and we're going to continue pulling back the curtain. We've called it, in fact, I was talking to commissioners today, we're forming a LOGE, Lake County Office of Government Efficiency.
Yeah.
And we are going to
call it out.
We're going to call them all.
Hang on,
folks.
Yeah. Am I here reading that right? All right, Tom in Massachusetts pledges 20. Thank you, Tom. Dorothea in Massachusetts Plexus 3000?
Massachusetts. Oh,
thank you, Dorothea. We could use that.
Definitely.
And Mary in Ohio, Plexus 300. Thank you, right. Mary. Okay. All right, very, very good. Thank you, thank you. We really needed this tonight. And God is answering our prayer. And so, and that's what you guys are doing. You're getting petitions signed. Tell us how this process works, because a lot of us, aren't, we know we have to go to Columbus. We have to get approved by the Attorney General and so on, the Secretary of State.
What's interesting is that there's really no one in the government, be it a state, local government, that is ready to help citizens. We also try to reach out for lawyers, for help.
Yeah. Won't touch.
And we weren't looking for pro bono. We said, we'll pay. We can't even find lawyers that are willing to step up to help us.
Well, they're afraid of the system. You don't. When it comes to. Again, this is why we need courage. This is why, this is what we've done here in this radio program.
Definitely.
We've exposed this kind of stuff.
You're standing on the front lines. You're standing on the front lines unafraid. And I agree completely. We've had people not sign our petition, and the reason that they don't want to sign is they're afraid for government retaliation.
Yeah. That's what you're dealing with.
I'm more afraid of not being obedient to God,
Amen to that, brother.
You got to think about this. Now, folks, I want you to think about this. You have all these people that are always criticizing Christians like this. Jesus was arrested. What did Jesus do? Well, he overthrew the taxpayers' money changers, right? For preaching the gospel and doing the gospel, the Apostle Paul was arrested in jail. Peter was arrested in jail. And all those people, there are a very small percentage of pastors. I'm one of them that have been arrested and jailed many times for simply preaching the gospel, right? And why is it? Because, like Peter said, we must obey God rather than man.
100%.
So what we're doing here tonight, when you have elderly people that have worked their whole life, they've paid off their mortgage, and they're saying, well, at least the house is mine. Here I am. I'm on limited income. At least I don't have to worry about losing my home and being in the streets. But here they come and say, oh, no, we're raising your property tax again. You don't pay that property tax, and then you're on the street.
In the state of Ohio, they have the audacity to raise the property taxes without a vote of the people. Because of what, for schools, because of what they call the 20-mil floor.
That's exactly what angers me so much,
And we're merely, as Leonard and I say, we're merely renters from the government. We're trying to get that message across to people that you really don't own your home. When you have to pay, and there's some people that in this last revaluation, which was easily 30% revaluation of their property values, some people went from $5,000 a year to over $10,000 a year in taxes, depending on where they live. And the dirty little secret is that, and I learned this from a state legislator, the dirty little secret was the taxing authorities did not have to take this increase. But it's a money grab when they'll never give money back to the taxpayers.
I know that. And that's not right. And this is where, you folks out there, listen, you're not a better citizen by paying unlawful and unfair taxes. You're you're a dumber citizen, see, because you actually are required. God expects you to stand up for righteousness, to stand up against this, And here, Brian, you fellas, Leonard and Berkeley, here where the Bible says that judgment begins in the house of God, and it begins in that pulpit. And there in that pulpit is where our Lord has been more dishonored.
Oh, my goodness.
More betrayed than any place else in the country. The pastors are the ones that are supposed to be as bold as lions. They're supposed to lead this. They're supposed to, like they did in the founding of this country.
Oh, yeah.
The founding fathers, those that understood the Word of God, and they understood that freedom wasn't free, They answered the call, and the pastors have failed the Lord. That's why
Pastor Sanders, Leonard, and I—I I don't know how many churches that we have attended. We wanted to be able to get the message out to the people,
just educate
people about the property taxes. The pastors don't want to have any part of that.
Yes.
None. We're not talking about going on Sunday morning. We're saying, well, can't we, you know, on a Wednesday night, or can't you bring people in? And we want to just educate them about property taxes, because that is severely needed in the state of Ohio.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with it.
Believe me, you guys don't have to come to my church. They all know about this. I mean, those folks are doers of the word, and they're out there in the battle. But,
that's critical.
And see, you know, people got to get to the point where they really, 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 for real, believe the Word of God. You know, the Bible tells you that faith without works is dead, being alone, and works are a sign of your faith. And Scripture says that, be ye a doer of the Word, not a hearer.
Yes.
Deceiving your own selves. You see, there, you've got all these comfort zone Christians that are going in. Many of them are attending social, country clubs instead of churches. You know, there are these mega country clubs, and they just don't get it. God's word, when it says, be you a doer of the word, I've actually heard him say, it's good to go to the real large mega churches, because you can kind of hide in there and never get called upon to do anything. Mm-hmm. You just go. And people say, well, you know, God's pleased with me today. I went and I heard a sermon. No, he's not pleased with you until you take what you've heard and put it to practical application. Yeah. And, you know, just like if you work in an office, right? Go there to the office and sit there at your desk all day and say, my boss must be proud of me, because I'm here. No, you better perform, or your boss is not going to be happy with you, right?
Yeah.
All right, Janice in Minnesota pledges 30. Thank you, Janice.
But Pastor Sanders, I can tell you, my life changed. As I went to church, I was Roman Catholic, you know, went to Mass all the time, but I never read the Bible. When I read the Bible and I started to understand the revealed Word of God, I wasn't just sitting in the pews listening to somebody tell me something. If they said something that did not resonate with me, I said, no, that is not correct. The message of Sodom and Gomorrah is not that they showed a lack of hospitality.
Yeah.
Come on.
That's what he said.
That's what he was getting.
And I said to my wife, I said, that's not right. That's not right. But that's what they were saying. So unless you're reading this, the revealed Word of God, you're just sitting in a pew listening to somebody from the pulpit. You don't know if they're telling the truth or not.
Absolutely. This is what I've been preaching out for over 50 years, folks. And I tell them in my church, when I'm in that pulpit, don't take my word for it. You follow along, and that's what they do. You've been there. You know, they follow along and check you, because, you know, I can make a mistake, right? If I do, let me know, okay? But not while preaching them.
I hear you.
You know, Pastor, it's a sad commentary, but even off of the text that you read coming from Matthew, that same spirit is alive today that was on those chiefs, priests and scribes. They did not want the people to be free. They were the Bible says that they were sore displeased when the blind and those that were lame, when they came and Jesus healed them. And these people, they really, it's like wolves in sheep clothing. They do not want the people to be free. So when you're saying that, hey, I'm going to these churches and I'm trying to let the pastors know that, hey, this is a way that your people can be free, they don't want that. They don't want their control messed with, you know. So if it doesn't benefit them, then
Well, most of these pastors are not biblically literate enough to understand.
There you go.
What, you know, the Bible teaches. Jesus said, "Go out and do all that I have commanded you to do." They a lot of them don't. If you ask them, I don't know how many years I've been preaching on the 5 points that when God gave us the institution of divine human government during the Noahic Covenant, he gave us those 5 points. Mm-hmm. And the vast majority of pastors don't even know that. No. They don't even know that, okay? And somehow they think that they miss the most misused, twisted, spun a passage of Scripture is Romans 13.
Romans 13. I knew you were going there.
I did a number of videos on Romans 13 years ago. I taught biblical law for years, and they just don't understand.
No.
Because Romans 13, now, first of all, you got to go to the Bible.
Yeah.
You can't use one of the over 200 perversions of the Bible. You got to get a King James Bible, which is far superior in every way to all of these perversions. Mm-hmm. And then Romans 13 means exactly what it says.
Yes.
Okay. And so this is why you had to get all these other perversions, because that's not what these apostates and what these people, these false teachers, want you to hear, you know. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
All right, we have, let's see, nope, somebody's coming up, I think, here in a minute. It looks like we're getting another pledge in, but
amen.
We're coming up to a break. So now, you guys are out, you're good, and you're going to be at the Tea Party. Okay, hey, I got to announce that. Jug County Right to Life.
Yeah.
Chili Cook-Off Fundraiser.
Yeah. There you go.
That's going to be Saturday, April 26th at 12 to 6 p.m. at the Medicine Bomb Center at 8200 Cedar Road in Chesterland. I'm going to be, this is my last, I'm going to compete again. This is the last time. You know, I've won 14 Northeast Ohio Chili Cook-Offs.
I'll be there to check
that
out.
Right. And we're going to have to check that out.
Check it out.
Yeah, and so, we often say it's, the question is not where's the beef, it's where's the bowl.
Yes.
And the bragging rights of that kitchen is amazing. Wow, we have Edna in Massachusetts just pledged 1,000. Thank you, Edna.
Thank you.
Wow. And so, anyhow, that's going to be coming up. You guys will be there. You'll have your petitions to sign, to get people to sign. We gotta see this thing through. It's the right thing to do. It's
the right thing to do.
Folks, no place in the Beatitudes does it say blessed are the stupid.
Yeah.
That's what you get on what they call the legacy news, right?
That's what
they're being taught out there today. You have to stand for righteousness, and this is time for righteous indignation. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And so,
I do have a question, though, Pastor Tanner. You mentioned before about the body and being a temple.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure how I came to that realization early on in life, but I've always believed my body is a temple not to be abused. Mm-hmm. How do we get that message across to our younger generations? Because if we could get that message across, I think many of the drug addictions and all of the other issues that are really a problem in our society, that I think that could solve a lot of problems if we could get that message across to them.
We're coming up to a break, and after this break, let's tackle that question. So be right back after this with a whole lot more. 888-677-9673.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.